Remain standing as we read Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. This is the word of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, we are hungry and we are thirsty for your word. Oh Father, we thank you that it is your will to fill us with your word. Let us be satisfied. Oh Father, we ask that you would bless us, that we may know Jesus Christ, your Son. And we ask that by your grace, you will receive all the glory. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we begin this verse, let me remind you that through the Beatitudes, we are looking at the pictures of the citizens of heaven. What we see here is who you are in Jesus Christ even now, even when you do not feel that this is how you are, if you are a son of God, then this is who you are. This is what kind of person that our Lord Jesus Christ has already made you to be. You must believe. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The peacemakers are the blessed ones. Peace. This sinful world speaks of peace also, but it is always false peace, definitely not eternal heavenly peace that our Lord has accomplished for us. You see, our God is peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, our God is called the God of peace. The true peace that the Bible speaks of is the peace with this God of peace. Peace between God and His people. In the beginning, God created man in His image to enjoy peace with God. But as you know, the sin has destroyed that peace. And as a result of sin, men have become enemies of God. And they have become enemies to one another. And the harmony with the nature has been also broken. And we see this in the very first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam and Eve, husband and wife, one body. But after sin, they blamed one another That is a picture of divorce. And they were kicked out of God's presence. And why, after we see that in Genesis 3, if you go to Genesis 4, we see their children, Cain and Abel, brothers. And Cain kills Abel. No peace. Man has become enemies to one another. Thus, we are able to speak of true peace only in terms of God's salvation. The problem of sin has to be solved. Thus, the world, this sinful world, does not and will not know true peace. The peace that the world speaks of is always false, because the true peace is the work of God. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Thus, the non-believers, I don't care what they think, non-believers cannot be the peacemakers of the Bible. No matter how much they say they love peace, not war, but they are not able to be the peacemakers of the Bible. The world and the sinners who belong to the world are under God's curse and God's judgment. For them, there is no true peace. But the world continues to speak of peace, false peace. And it was exactly the same way in the Old Testament. The sinners, they could only think of peace in terms of this world. So as long as there's no war, they think it's peace. But they were sinners. They sinned against God as the enemies of God. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. The leaders of Israel, they kept telling the people of God, peace, peace. God will not bring judgment upon you. But God says otherwise. Peace, peace, but there is no peace. Because their sins. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11 and 12 says the same thing. If we go to chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, we read, but, ah, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. These false prophets will come to these people and say, God will bless you. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. And this is exactly what the world does today. They talk about peace, and they even talk about how they are going to bring this peace through their work. They speak of false peace. Peace without God. Unless the problem of sin is solved, we cannot speak of true peace. The good news, the gospel, is that God has solved that problem. God has solved our problem of our sins in Jesus Christ. That is the message of the gospel. Even from the very beginning, even from the Old Testament, God has promised the true peace to the sinners who do not deserve to have that peace. To sinners who have not true peace. Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 25. This is what God says. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and eliminate harmful beasts from the land so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessing. Also the tree of the field will yield its fruit, and the earth will yield its increase, and they will be secure on their land. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bars of their yoke, and have delivered them from the land, from the hand of those who enslaved them. They will no longer be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the earth will not devour them, but they will live securely, and no one will make them afraid. I will establish for them a renowned planting place, and they will not again be victims of famine in the land, and they will not endure the insults of the nations anymore. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. The true peace of God is promised and described here in the Old Testament idioms. What do I mean by that? In the Old Testament level, it is described, if God were to write His Bible today, and if God were to describe the army of God today, I don't think you will see the way that the Bible that we have describes the army of God. Because in the Old Testament, at that time, that's how people understand the army of God, horses and chariots. So even in the New Testament, when the Bible describes the army of God who's going to come to judge the world, so many times it is described as horses and chariots. And understand that it's described with the things that they understood when the Bible was written. If it is written today, it will be described differently. So you need to understand that this is the Old Testament idiom. It is language of the Old Testament. But you understand that peace that God's going to have with His people is the reality of heaven. That reality of heaven is described in earthly terms in Ezekiel chapter 34. But nevertheless, our point here is that this peace is promised by God. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 26. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Peace is promised and described in terms of God being with His people. I'm trying to help you to understand what biblical peace is all about. The peace, the true peace that God is promising and accomplished in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 66 verse 12, for thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed. You will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. Peace, like a river, is promised to His people. And this peace will come to us through a child. God says, Isaiah 9 verse 6 to 7, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from them, from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So here, God is promising peace, but this peace will come through a child. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. We're given more information about this child. This child who will be born in Bethlehem, the Messiah. And there it says, this one will be our peace. So this Messiah, this child, he is our peace. And we all know that the child is Jesus Christ, our Lord and God. Jesus Christ is the perfect revelation of God's peace. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble, and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, a foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the horses from the Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off. And he will speak peace to the nations. And his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the end of the earth. This child is also the king. And he's going to come. And he's going to establish a nation, kingdom. And with this kingdom, he will speak peace to all nations. He is humble, triumphant king. He will establish a kingdom of peace. Yes, that child has been born and that kingdom has come. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He has brought to His people the true peace, the everlasting peace. But remember how He brought this peace to you and to me. Isaiah 53 verse 5, NIV version. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. This peace that God has promised through this child, that child brought this peace through the death on the cross. Yes, He paid for our sins. All the problems of our sins are solved. Thus, the true peace between God and His people is now given to you and to me. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God, that we are no longer His enemies. Our Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone has accomplished this peace. So brothers and sisters, this is the conclusion, even though my sermon is not over. Jesus Christ, He is the true peacemaker. He is the blessed one because He is the true peacemaker. And He is the Son of God. Now our verse says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Again, you are called to live the very life of Christ, to participate in His glorious life, because He is the true peacemaker and He is the true Son of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. 2:14. For He Himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. The Jews and the Gentiles are one, no longer enemies, but they have peace with one another in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And verse 10 through verse 11, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Yes, in Jesus Christ, God and His people have peace. His people are no longer His enemies. The reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Jesus Christ is the peacemaker. He accomplished this peace, and he proclaims that peace. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We cannot speak of true peace apart from Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, you have been invited to live the life of Christ, who is the peacemaker. You are called to imitate your Lord Jesus Christ. You are called to proclaim Jesus Christ, who is the peacemaker. You are called to proclaim the peace that our Lord, who is the peacemaker, has accomplished. We are called to witness the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished for His people. Heaven is the place of the perfect peace. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We must witness this reality through our lives and through the life of our church. We must witness this peace. We must witness this peace even to the sinful world, which has no true peace. But remember that the world will not welcome this peace. Luke chapter 12, verse 51 through 53. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. In the world, Jesus is the cause of division. But in heaven, He is the perfect peace. Thus, Romans 12, 18 says, if possible, because sometimes it is not possible, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You do your best, because you are called to witness that peace that Jesus Christ has brought upon His people. But this world will not welcome this kind of peace. Peace in Jesus Christ. No other peace is everlasting and true peace. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. We must witness our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, His once enemies. Romans 12, verse 19 through 21, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The peacemakers are the sons of God. The sons of God are the peacemakers. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This is and was the will of God even before the foundation of universe. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 through 7, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 through 17. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he will be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, you are sons of God. But sons of God, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a son of God? Well, we could say many things, have a completely new sermon on that. But let's look at just one aspect of what is being a son of God means. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female. And if you go down to verse 3, when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. See, if we compare verse 1 with verse 3, we see the similarities. God creating Adam in his image. In verse 3, Adam having a son in his image. So understand, when God created us in his image, then he created us as his sons. That's what it means. So, if you are a son of a father, your job is to be like the Father, imitating the Father. Because you are His Son. You are created in His image. Sons of God must be like God. Thus, God is the peacemaker. So are we. We must imitate the Prince of Peace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 17, and He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. Acts chapter 10 verse 36, the word which He sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Christ Jesus. He is Lord of all. He preached the peace through Jesus Christ, and we must do the same. We must participate in His life of peacemaker. And that is exactly what this church is all about. We are the peacemaker who bring the good news, the gospel, the peace that our God has accomplished in Jesus Christ between God and His people. Do you understand? As the peacemakers, we preach the gospel. Because there is no true peace apart from the gospel. And that is what we do as the peacemakers of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, we must preach the gospel so that sinners will have peace with God. We must live the life of peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is your present spiritual, heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. Do you see yourself as such? Even in this worship, you have come to God as the sons of God and having peace with God and peace with one another in Jesus Christ. Do you understand, apart from Christ, I don't care how much you say you love your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your friend, you will hate one another in hell if it is not of what Christ has done. No matter how much you act like you love others, If Jesus did not do what he has accomplished for us, then you and I were here as enemies forever and ever. And you are here, and I'm here as an enemy of God forever and ever. Just because we don't have war, the sinners think they have peace. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that we have peace in Jesus Christ. Not only we have peace with God, but we have peace with one another. Otherwise, we will hate one another forever in hell. So the verse that we're looking at, it is our present spiritual heavenly reality that Christ has already accomplished for us. Because you came to God as the sons of God, having peace with God and peace with one another in Jesus Christ, and you witnessed that heavenly reality even as you worship our God together. You must live as who you really are in Jesus Christ. You must live your lives as the peacemaker of God. You and I are the sons of God who are born from above. You are recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3 verse 1 and 2, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. You are like your Lord, Jesus Christ, who is the peacemaker. You are the peacemakers in Jesus Christ. We must witness this peace that our Lord has accomplished. Show to the whole world who you really are. In your homes, in your jobs, in your communities, in your church, you must witness that you are indeed the peacemakers in Jesus Christ, who is the true peacemaker. Enjoy. Enjoy your life as a peacemaker, and enjoy your God who is the peacemaker. Just look. He made peace with us. And this worship is the proof of that. So we're here to worship the true peacemaker. He made peace between us and God. Let us imitate Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We have peace with You in Jesus Christ. And we have peace with one another in Jesus Christ. We are no longer enemies to one another. And we are no longer enemies to You. We are brothers and sisters, sons of God. And we are even brothers to Your Son, our brother. And unlike Cain and Abel, unlike Cain, we love one another. We are our brothers' keepers. For we love our brothers. And we love you. Bless us that we may be able to witness that peace that your son, our brother, has accomplished for us. Bless your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.